Amen. Good to be in his house. Amen. Good to see each one of you. We want to be mindful and prayerful. God will minister to so many of these called out in prayer, as well as Brother Donnie. God will touch him, and he's looking forward to a recovery, I know. We were hoping to be here a week or so ago, but we have tended some of the same things that you have with. You go in a building, you feel that tickle in your throat. So we was trying to avoid any spreading event. And we didn't stay out of church, but we just didn't want to come down. And then Brother Donnie wants me to hack on everybody. And I just wasn't in the mood for it, Brother Dan. You know, sometimes you just ain't in the mood for it. I'm kidding. He don't do that. But we got a lot to praise him for. Amen. So. Some of y'all dealing with it this week. We were some of us dealing with it last week. You know, it's just part of life, isn't it?
That's it.
You know, my son and I, we like to get lunch on Friday when we can. And he's like, well, I got this going on. I said, well, because something new came along don't mean all the old stuff went away, does it? So whatever happened to just having a laryngitis or a sore throat or a cold, all disappeared. And so... sometimes, you know, you can feel, you might can tell the difference or what have you. Nobody wants to spread, but at the same time, we don't want to make everybody in our up-and-coming generation sissies.
Yeah.
We don't want to raise a bunch of sissies, do we?
No,
and so, you know, it's, oh, I ain't on. He's giving me a sign, but it wasn't pretty either. I ain't going to tell y'all what it was. It's between me and him. I'm going to hold it over his head and give him a little nasty signal. But we don't want to turn, you know, when I come up in the 70s, I was born in 68. When I come up in the 70s, Mama had a rhythm about her day. Her day was she's going to feed you, put you outside. It's summertime, you know, not during school. Going to put you outside and lock the door while she clean house, and you can stand out there and beat and bang if you want to. It didn't mean you was going to get everything you wanted. And so, you know, the old timers would say, you young'uns get out in the yard and play.
Yeah.
Now they all got 15 devices and they got cords wrapped around their neck. And you couldn't make them throw a ball if their life depended on it. And so we don't want to raise spiritual sissies, and we don't want to raise sissy young'uns. Amen. And so this is where America has to be careful of the trap of turning all of our young people into sissies. That's not what we want. Amen. We want mental toughness, physical toughness, and that kind of thing. And so the proverb said, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Remember that? And so what happens? If we don't pray, we'll faint. And if we're not strong in the day of adversity, we'll faint. And we don't want to be fainting. Amen. And so the writer said, I write unto you that you faint not. Amen. God doesn't want us fainting. Got your Bible. Look over to the book of Judges, chapter number 13. We're going to talk about a man by the name of Samson here for a little while. Encourage your heart. I tell you, these heroes of faith are very encouraging to me. I trust they are to you, and it's not by what all they done right. I get more encouragement by what they done wrong. Amen. Do you ever feel that way? And so you people say, well, I stay out of the Bible because it convicts me. Well, it does convict me. I need that too. But it also encourages me when I see that men and women of the past were people just like you and I. And so God didn't choose perfect people to do his bidding. You know why? Because there weren't any. And so he had to use us. And that's what he's doing today. He's got to use us. We all he has. And none of us are perfect. Amen. And so God wants to use you. And he will use you if you'll allow him to. I wanted to say something. I saw something right here. I don't know why I got so much stuff in here, but if I can put my hand on this, I want to read this to you because I was looking at it just as somewhere to mark a page. But this is very interesting. You want an interesting Bible fact? AD 1555, think about that, 1555, 55, John Rogers and Thomas Cranmer, with 300 other men and women, were burned at the stake, and the Protestant Bibles that they believed were burned by Queen Mary. You know why they burned? Because of what they believed. Isn't that amazing to you? 300 men and women willing to be burned at the stake by the Queen because of the Word of God. And I just ask you that this what this kind of stuff does, it prompts me to question my faith. Is my faith real enough, and is it deep enough to be willing to be burned at the stake? And you say, well, we'll never have to deal with that preacher. Are you sure? Are you real sure? Because it's going on overseas, and we have world powers that's trying to conglomerate world powers, and we've got people today that would sell us out as a nation if they could, and bring us other some law from another land if they could. They would. They like that. It's universalism. They desire that. And we're going to see that one day. Watch now. I'm just giving you a little preempt of what will be coming and what we read about in the book of Revelation. Is we read about a one world monetary system and a one world government. And so we have to be questioning ourselves now. Is our faith real enough to be as Cranmer and those other 300 saints were that went to the stake to be burned for the word of God's sake? Is it that real? Well, here we're going to talk about Judges just a little bit, and a man by the name of Samson of the 13th chapter. You got your Bible, look there. And the word said the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. This was a cycle. They'd get right with God. They'd sin against God. God turned them over and it might send them into servitude. And he'd send a judge and he'd deliver them. And then they'd go back into servitude. It was a cycle. And so here is the word said they've done it again. Watch now. They did again. Wasn't the first time. Again, in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them. And the parents was a certain, pardon me, and there was a certain man of Zorah in the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Look at verse 4. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistine. The woman came and told her husband and said, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me he his name. Now, what she is speaking of and what the angel spoke of was a Nazarite vow that's going to fall on a man by the name of Samson. The first time you'll read about a Nazarite vow, God gave them the code and directions of that Nazarite vow in the 6th chapter of the book of Numbers. And so as he told them what that would pertain to, he didn't tell them that Samson was going to be like none other. And so God, I like this because there's some parallels I'll point out real quick on the fly here. This introduction to Samson's birth, if you want to know how special it was very similar to the introduction of the birth of the Lord Jesus. If you go back and compare that to when the angel of God told Manoah, his wife, and when the angel of God told Mary and Joseph, and so those tidings are very similar. And he's pronounced that this man is not going to be any other man. He's going to be a special man. He's going to be God's man. And he's going to do God's bidding. And so we see it here that you're going to conceive and bear him. And so he's talking about how separated he's going to be for the cause of Christ. Now, if you go forward a little bit, you're going to find that Samson, although he was special, this is something we need to get a hold of, church, because God has saved us and because God has called us and set us apart. That's what sanctification is. Sanctification was in the early days, when the days of the when everything was in the tabernacle and they were bearing it upon their shoulders. Remember that? Yeah. And so they were toting God's ark everywhere they went. They'd set up the ark. And so remember, David got in trouble because he wanted to put the ark of God on a new cart. And God was looking for a new cart, and he was looking for a new gospel, and he was looking for a new religion. No, and he's not looking for a new way to be saved. And so when they put the ark of God on the cart, and the old ox stumbled, that's right, the ox stumbled and the cart shook, and David just reached up his hand to steady that ox. That was a spiritual kind of way. And so when he steadied the ark, the word of God came to him. And God dealt with him, and the whole show stopped. I mean, it's quite breaking up, isn't it? The whole show stopped. And then it was mourning and weeping. Why? Because God was vexed by him touching the ark. Only the Levites. And as special as David was, he wasn't a Levite. He didn't qualify. We need to know our role, don't we? The role God's gave us. Know our calling. Brethren, make your calling and election sure. That's what's in the scripture. And so we see this here where Samson is called. He's separated. He's set apart. And he's got the call of God on his hand, on his head. And so he's going out now. I'm going to fast forward this a little bit. There's only four chapters that pertains to Samson. We're sure not going to cover it all or read them all. We're going to hit some highlights, and you'll see this. That Samson, although he was separated, although he was sanctified, he still had the natural tendencies of any other man. Isn't that so? And so we find it. That we, let's talk about us, the church today. What do we deal with? We deal with the same things. We're in all points tempted. And we're in all points tried. And we see this, and they even spoke of Jesus in this light. The word said that he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We can't say that. We can't say that. People say, preacher, well, I've got it all figured out. Why, just by you saying that, we understand you don't have it all figured out. And so here we realize that Samson is God's man. He's got his hand upon him, his hands on his life. He's the 13th judge. Don't forget, we're talking about the book of Judges. He's a judge. God made him one. And his strength is unbelievable, and he's canny, and he's witty, and he's all these things. He's an attractive little booger. Now, the word said he ain't cut his hair from the day of his birth. And so, you know, it makes you think of Absalom. I can still see Absalom. Y'all remember him? Oh, yeah. Absalom had that long, flowing hair, drove girls crazy. And so Absalom was all of these things right there. And you know, we find out he was a cousin of King David. And so Absalom was everything that this world thought he ought to be. Now here comes Samson's got that Nazarite vow on him. He's got a reason he ain't cut his hair, because God said so. And so then he finds, he goes out and he takes a wife. And I'm fast forwarding some things right here just for the sake of time. And he takes a wife and then he goes back. Remember, he married. He married a lady that was a Gentile. And so we find it that even so, watch now, you want to see another type of the Lord Jesus right there in Samson's life? He went and took a Gentile bride. And so we find that. What did Jesus do? Jesus married the church, the Gentile bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Jew, remember, the Jew, what were they as when Christ came and he called the church? We find that the Jew was on the outside looking in. And now we find it here that Samson, He's married the Gentile bride. And so there's some things going on in their cultural differences. And for the sake of time, forward over, we see where Samson's wife went awry. We see where he went awry. All of these things have happened. There's a lot of enticing going on and trickeration going on. Why? Because Samson is able to take the jawbone of an axe. Now, that's a donkey. It's not a dirty word. It's a donkey. It's a scriptural terminology for a donkey. And he takes the jawbone of an axe, the word said, and he slew 1,000 men. 1,000 men. And the word said that his hand was so gripped to that jawbone, he couldn't turn it loose while he done cramped up. And so the glory of God that was on Samson, he was fierce in battle. He was the leader God made him. He was all of these things. And then we find it as he goes on that his wife, we see that his first marriage, things didn't work out. And so we find it that he's left there. If you look into chapter number 14 and verse number 19, I'm going to read this. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. 14:19. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change. He gave change of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled. Remember, he put this, listen to that. Samson was like we are in a lot of ways. He liked to make sport. He liked to do this. He's like, well, I have a riddle for you. And first one of y'all can figure out my riddle. Sounds kind of corny to us today, but whatever it was some big deal, and he made him a promise of what he's going to do because he thought he was wittier than everybody else, and they couldn't figure him out. Well, they couldn't figure him out until they went back to his wife, and she had exploited what was going on there. If you look into verse number 18, the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if you've not plowed with my heifer, you had not found out my riddle. Now, I didn't call his wife a heifer. He did. He said, you plowed with my heifer. Now, a lot of people say, you heifer. You heifer. It's right there in the Word of God. He said, if you hadn't have plowed with my heifer, I ain't interested in knowing all the details about that, but I'm saying what he said. If you hadn't have plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't have found out my riddle. And so, I'm going to leave it right there. It's a good place to stop on that one, isn't it? But while it came to pass, 15 verse 1, within a while, after in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, but his father wouldn't allow him, wouldn't suffer him to go in. He said, I thought you hated her, and I gave her to another fella, gave her to your companion. And this is, life's on a low limb for Samson right here. God's called him. God's made him the great deliverer that he is. Listen, I call, my wife's smiling because she knows what I'm about to call Samson. Samson is a phenom. And she says, I overuse that word, and it's a big running joke everywhere you go. I said, well, that's a phenom. She's like, everything's not a phenom. But Samson was a phenom, was he not? I mean, he was God's phenom. And so here, he's moving on in life. Church, sometimes we don't understand things that happen, and we move on in life. We got to get that. If we don't, we'll get stuck. We'll be bogged down in the mud. We'll be wondering where God wants us to go. And Samson, he went back to get his wife and restore that relationship. But his father-in-law said, no, I done gave her to somebody else. That page is turned, sir. You just need to turn around and get on your Cadillac knees on out of here. And so Samson goes, and he caught three. You want to see the kind of man he was? Look at this in verse number four. Samson went and caught 300 foxes. I couldn't catch one fox my whole life. Samson caught 300. Get your head wrapped around this, church. 300 foxes. And he took firebrands and turned tail to tail. I'm more interested in how he tied them fox tails than I am in catching a fox. But he turned those foxes tail to tail, and he tied a knot in them. It was a good knot, too. And then he lit them tails on fire. Have your daddy tell you he's going to light your tail on fire? He literally lit their tails on fire and sent them out in the standing corn of those Philistines. Brother, if you don't think 300 foxes can burn down something, 300 foxes tied together and their tails on fire. That's a deadly combination. But it's right there in the Word of God. And the Word said when he set them on fire, he let them go in the standing corn of the Philistines and burn up both the shocks and the corn with the vineyards and the olives. God's wisdom, God's hand upon it. Don't forget he caught 300 foxes. And the Word said, look down into verse number 6. In the bottom part of the verse, and the Philistines came up when they found what was done. I'm going to read the whole verse. Then the Philistines said, who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to a companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. And Samson said unto them, though you've done this, yet will I be avenged of you. After that I will cease. He already knew. He knew his dying day was coming. He said, but God's already let me in on this. I'll be avenged of you before I go. And so if there's anybody I don't want to be on his bad list, it's Samson. I mean, this guy's bodacious. He is for real. And so if we see this here, look down into verse 10. The men of Judah said, why are ye come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us. You know, it is in the scripture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. And that's what they were playing upon. We come to settle the score with Samson because he has burnt down our corn, made a mockery of our encampment. Then 3,000 men, watch now, 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? And what is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so I've done unto them. Samson said, look, I'm going back to the eye for an eye thing. What they done to me. See, what I think has got lost in this whole matter, because we see it from a looking back perspective. I don't know if all these men of Judah understood that God was making Samson a judge to lead the children of Israel out of that bondage, that Philistine bondage. And when Samson died and's moved on, and the other judges have died and moved on, then King Saul, remember, he's fighting the Philistines. And then King David, he's fighting the Philistines. So I don't know if they forgot about this whole big picture thing, that God's got them there. God's got them there. He's got him there in a place of deliverance. I think there's going to be people who's going to get to the judgment, look back and say, you know, I really didn't know that salvation thing was for me. Sat in church for 40 years, but I didn't know it was for me. I listened to gospel message after gospel message, but I never treated it like it was for me. And see, they're worried about what the Philistines think, and it's the Philistines that's killing you folks. That's what Samson's trying to say. My God, I'm here as a deliverer and a judge. And so God raised up others. We read about others he raised up. Remember, as he called those, there's several different judges that he used and picked out. And then we find that Samuel was a judge. Yeah, and we find that others, God used them. And Gideon, don't forget about Gideon. God used Gideon right here in the same book of Judges. And so he was one of the pieces that God was using. Now fast forward, I want you to see this. We're going to close it out right here. Look over in the 16th chapter. So Samson's revived in battle, took the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, he said, with the jaw of an ass, I've slain 1,000 men. And so he sore thirst, and he said, I die for thirst. I'm in 15:18 right now. I die for thirst, and now shall I fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. But God, you ought to underline that if you do any writing in your Bible. But God claimed a hollow place that was in the jaw, that same jawbone that he took and killed 1,000 men with is the same jawbone that God clave a hollow place in it and water came out. Can you imagine that? The jawbone of a horse or a donkey or anything like that's not over about 14. If it's 12, 14 inches, you'd say. And so here water's gushing out of that jawbone. You said, preacher, I wonder if God left. I wonder if God left Samson somewhere. No, he didn't leave it. I just said there's water coming out of a jawbone. Don't act like that happens every day or any day but Samson's day. And God's watered his servant, and he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. But I want you to see this. I want to talk about the last thing of this message concerning Samson's death. Go forward a little bit into verse 23. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god. That's their little image god. Not a true god. Not a god that's alive. Not the god Jehovah. But Dagon. And they, what can Dagon do? And so here, look into verse number 24. When the people saw him, they praised their god. For they said, our god's delivered our hands out of the hands of the enemy, and which slew many of us. So they're worshiping Dagon. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they called for Samson, that he may make us sport. Now, you know what they wanted Samson to do? Get that old boy out of here. He thought he was something. He ain't nothing. Dagon's God. Jehovah's not God. Dagon's God. You know there's people today wrestling. They're wrestling with who God is. We're not. But there's people today that's really wrestling. I'm not talking about folks overseas necessarily. There's people in our communities that are wrestling with who God is. That's what they were doing. They were saying, Dagon's our God. Remember, they would walk in the temple. They'd put Dagon in there one time. They put Dagon in there. They'd walk in there, and Dagon would be on his face. And they're like, huh, we don't understand that. God did it. And so here they're worshiping Dagon, and this is vexing. This is vexing Samson somewhat, because you say of all Samson done, you say, well, Samson, remember, Samson stopped on that day of travel, and the word said he went into a harp. He did what the word said. But it don't change the fact Samson's God's man. You say, well, he married a Philistine. He married a heathen. He did this. He did that. You can point at umpteen things Samson didn't do right. But you know what he did do right? He followed God to the day of his death. And so here, they've caught him. They've gouged out his eyes. Can't see a thing. And they got him pinned up, hemmed up. They're having a great feast. I mean, a great party. Listen, there's 3,000 folks on the roof of the house. We don't know how many's in the first part, the first floor, second floor. We don't know how tall it was. We don't know how many's in the yard. I mean, this is a major get-together. And so here at this major event, the word said it came to pass, verse 25, their hearts were merry. They called for Samson and said that he might make us sport. We want Samson to entertain us. He's going to entertain you. But you ain't going to like it. And so here, they bring old Samson, boy. Old Samson, big strong Samson. Bring him out here. Listen, I ain't even taking time to talk about how they would bind him, tie him up with them green withes.
Yeah.
They tie him untied. Spirit of God come on. Boom. Yeah. He's free as a buck deer. And so really you have to remember Samson, they're making sport out of him because he is quite the spectacle on an average day. On a real good day, he's an amazing thing to see. And so they're like, bring him out, let him entertain us. You know, we ain't got no football to throw, no basketball to bounce. Just get Samson. Bring him out here. And so they brought him out, and the word said that there was a lad. Remember, they put his eyes out. And he's got a little lad. I like that. I like that little lad that brought the five loaves and two fishes, don't you? People say, well, where does young people, where do they become active in the will of God whenever they get ready to listen to him and obey him, they're active. And so this little lad, Samson, said, son, I don't know who you are, what you look like. I'm blind, but would you lead me by the hand? He said, I got you, Samson. I got you. Where you want to go? I know this place forward and backwards. And so he said, as he was led by the hand, he said, suffer me that I may feel the pillars. That ain't what you lay your head on. Country boy, that's, we call them pillars, I understand. But those are the pillars of the building. And put me to the pillars upon the house upon which it stands, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, all the dignitaries, all the uppity-ups and the muckety-mucks, they all made the trip. Why? Because this was a big-time show. This is something like you'd see out in L.A. I mean, the who's who of the party crowd is all there, and they think they got the bull by the horns, and they got Samson right where they want him. And so Samson, watch now. You'll see it down in to verse number 27, that he's led him there, and Samson called. He didn't call 911. He didn't call Ann Landers. Who do you call when you get in trouble? That's the big question. Sometime we call the sheriff's office. Nothing wrong with that. But besides that, we need to call on the Lord. Somebody wrote a song about that. Who are you going to call? Back in the 80s. You know, 80s kids in here, are they? Yeah, back in the 80s. Who are you going to call? It ain't Ghostbusters. And so here, he called on the Lord. And he said, remember me. Oh, Lord, remember me. People said, preacher, I don't know how to pray fancy prayers. Does this sound fancy to you? Lord, remember me. I don't know how spiritually strong Samson felt right there, being he can hear the cat calls, the mockery, the crowd talking. Oh yeah, they've had him a sip or two. They got the little flask out. Look at old Samson. Can't find a way around. Got a little boy leading him around. Mighty man Samson. You know he's humiliated. And so here he is, counting on a little lad to get him where he needs to go. But he's praying. He said, God, strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, that I may be once avenged to the Philistines. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which was the house stood, and on which it was born, and one with his right hand, and one with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they that he slew in his life. Samson went out with a blaze of glory. As we stare together, I'm going to ask you this. How many times has there been a time, head bows, eyes closed, how many times has there been a time in your life when you had to ask God Lord, hear me one more time. God, answer me one more time. God, help me. I like the man in the Gospels when he looked to Jesus and Jesus kind of gave him the cold shoulder a little bit. He's checking him spiritually. And his man broke down and he said, Lord, if thou canst do anything, help us. If thou canst do anything. Samson said, I'm going to call on the God that I called on in my youth, that I called on in my strength, that I called on in my glory. I'm going to call on him and I'm going to ask him. This is where some of us today are. When are you going to ask God to do it for you? One more time. One more time. Samson said, bless God, this is my last opportunity to glorify God. And he said, Lord, do it again. You know, you can't ask God as she plays to do it again. You can ask Jesus said, hitherto you've asked me nothing. Ask and it shall be given. Matthew 7:7 says, seek and shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receive. And you said, preacher, I don't know why God did this for Samson. I do, because he asked. He said, one more time, Lord. One more time. Just one more time. God showed him David. And God pinned him right there in the pinnacles of his